أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. We were discussing in the last lesson about Ishba and the law of Ishba was we convert the last harakat from kasra to a ya and from a dhamma to a waw in qira'at only, not in the writing. And there is only one place where we do the ishba, and that is in the case of ha al zamir. Law of ishba applies only in one case, and that is ha al-dhamir. That means the pronoun. The pronoun ha, which comes at the end, that's where we do it. And examples of we already discussed is محمد رسول الله والذين آمنوا معه والذين آمنوا والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. That's where the example is. That's what we are talking. Ishba, law of Ishba applies here at the ha, the pronoun which is here, معه. Here you have to convert the dhamma into a double dhamma. So you do the Ishba, mean feeding the dhamma and making it like a waw, equal to the stretch of two dhammas. And another example, whatever. قومه من ال whatever mihrabi, for example. So here is another example of kasra, law of ishba, applying on the pronoun ha al zamir. It was a kasra actually, but we feed the kasra further so that it gets converted into two kasras, which is equal to one ya in the stretch of the qira'at only, not in the writing. We don't write it like a ya, of course, but we read the dhamma equal to one ya in the stretch of the voice. Here, so this is what we already discussed last night. Now, last lesson, let's go to today's lesson. There are three places which is where ishba cannot be performed. It seems to be similar, but you remember that you cannot do the ishba in those three places. The first is where one of the two sides of zamir, that means the pronoun, is sakin. That means it doesn't have the i'rab, fatha, dhamma. So one of the two sides of the zamir, if it is sakin, then we don't apply the law of ishba. Example, ilayhil masir. So here is the example what we are talking about. We did not do the ishba. We did not feed this zamma to convert it into two bamma in the stretch of the voice, because one of the two sides of the zamir is a sakin. Actually, here in this example, both the sides are sakin. This one is also a sakin, and this one, the next readable alphabet, which is lam in this case, is also a sakin. So that's where the law of ishba does not apply. So these are the three exceptions where there will be no ishba. Another example, lahul ham. So one of the two sides, this here we find both sides were sakin, ya and lam. Here we find one of the two sides is sakin. Lam has a fatha, it is not sakin, but this lam is sakin, so the law of ishba is not applying here. We will just read it like a simple dhamma, not equal to two dhammas. We will not do the ishba of the dhamma. One example of the kasra, third example. This example of kasra. These two were the examples of, this is example of kasra also. This is another, just another example of kasra where both the sides are sakin. Here, law of ishba will not apply. Okay, this is the first exception from the law of ishba. The second exception from the law of ishba, where the law of ishba will not apply, there when after the ha, if after the ha, that means the pronoun ha of the meal, after the ha, there is shad or shadda. In Farsi or in Urdu, we call it tashdeed. In Arabic, we call it shad or shadda. So, if after the zamir, after the pronoun, there is a shad, the law of ishba will not apply. Examples. قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِعْ. Here is the example. We are not going to do the ishba. We will not convert this dhamma into two dhammas in the stretch of the voice when reciting, because after dhamma there is a shad. Here is the shad. So we will just read it like one dhamma. قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِعْ. We won't say لَهُ اتَّقِعْ. We won't do the stretch of the dhamma into two dhammas. Another example. نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. So after the dhamma, the first readable letter here in this case is the lam, the first readable letter which has a shad on top of it. So you won't do the ishba of the dhamma. You just read it like one dhamma. نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Third example, bihil ladina, bihil ladina. Again, after the ha, the pronoun, the first readable letter lam has a shad, so you don't do the ishba of the dhamma. Just read it like one kasra, bihil ladina. You won't say bihil ladina. You say bihil ladina, just like a kasra. So that's the second exception. The law of ishba does not apply. Let's move to the third exception. Can I erase this one? Okay, the third mustasna and place maurid of exception is where if before the ha, that means the pronoun, there is a harfun maddiya, harfe maddi. Harfun maddiya, if you remember, any alif, and before that, if there's a fatha, this alif, which in alif, in Arabic, before alif, there's always a fatha, according to the law. But of course, that's called alif, harf maddi. Or before the ya, if there's a kasra, then this ya is called, these are harf maddi. Of course, harf maddi, harfun maddi also includes a waw before a dhamma, a dhamma before the waw, but that doesn't apply in the case of a pronoun, so I'm not talking, mentioning that. So whenever before the ha of pronoun, ha is dhamir, you find there's a harf maddi, harfun maddiya, then law of ishba will not apply. Examples: inna anzalnahu. Here you find that's where we are talking about. We will not do the ishba of the dhamma, because before the dhamma, before the ha'ul dhamir, before the pronoun, there is alif, which is alifun maddiya. Because the alif, and before that there is a fatha. So this is harfun maddiya. So because before the pronoun there is a harfe maddi, the law of ishba will not apply on this pronoun. So we just say it like one single dhamma without stretching it into two dhammas. Yeah, this, what I said, I mean, there is a possibility, let me correct it. There is a possibility where we can find a waw as well. Yeah, it's not just alif and ya. In the case of Zamir, we can also have examples of waw before the Zamir. And that waw, Hasakin waw, and before waw there is a Ramma, which is in sync with the waw, so it would be wawe maddi, halfe maddi. So there can be examples of that as well. Let me find out. Okay. Okay, let's go to this example of alif maddiya. Let's go to the example of yae maddiya. Yae maddiya, like yuhibbu ahadukum an ya'kula, the ayat about the ghibat in Quran. Yuhibbu ahadukum an ya'kula lahma akhihi maytan. Does one of you love to eat the flesh of your brother in the dead form? That means your dead brother. فَكَرَهْتُمُوهُ. So that's the example where we have ha of zamir, the pronoun. Before that, there's a yae maddiya. Ya, which is sakin, and before that, there's a kasra. So here, the law of ishba does not apply. You don't stretch this zamir. Just say it like one kasra. Okay. Tansuruhu. Example of waw. Tansuruhu. That's example of waw and maddiya. So we don't apply the law of ishba here, because before that there's a waw which is sakin, and before waw there's a dhamma in sync with the waw, which makes it harfun maddiya, harfe maddi. So the dhamir, the dhamma of the dhamir will not be stretched into two. Okay, these are the three exceptions. Are those clear? Let's go to some other type of exceptions. These are the exceptions in the law. Now we have some other exceptions which are there for ishba, where the law actually is applying, but we still consider it to be an exception. What are those places? First is in Surah Az-Zumar. Surah Zumar, which is Surah number 39 of Quran, and verse number 7. That's an exception in the Quran, where in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. According to the law, it falls into this category. Both sides of the pronoun have fatha. So according to the law, we need to stretch this dhamma into two dhammas in the stretch of the voice and do the ishba. But that law doesn't apply here, although apparently it is similar to that. It doesn't fall in these three exceptions. So this is another exception that you should remember. This verse in the Holy Quran, يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ, we don't do the ishba here. This is without the ishba, bila ishba. And that's grammatically, there's a reason why we do that. Grammatically, actually, this verb actually used to be يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. So that's the reason why we don't do it in the Quran. If this word grammatically used to be like this. So here there's a sakin. But right now it is written like this in the Holy Quran, there's a fatha. Apparently the law will apply, that what you have learned. If before the pronoun, both sides of the pronoun have a fatha. You have to stretch the dhamma equal to two dhammas, and that's why I wrote it like this, inverted dhamma which equals to two dhammas. Ma'ahu, ma'ahu actually, you will also find a mad here. The law of mad will also apply. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. So, but this is mustasna, remember. When you encounter this ayat, don't read it with the ishba. Also, there is one more istisna in the Quran that you should remember, and that is in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 69. Can one of you please open the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan, verse 69, as to double check whether I have written this ayat number correctly or not. Surah Al-Furqan, verse 69. And that's where is the mustasna in the ayat, where the ayat of Quran says, وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ. Here, it falls in the category of these three mustasnas, because before the dhamir pronoun, there is a sakin. We can't do the ishba of the zameer, we cannot stretch it, but still we are stretching it. That is another mustasna in Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan. Is the ayat number correct, 69? وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ. You won't say fihe, you say fihi, just like a ya, equal to two kasras in the stretch. Fihi, fihi, you'll read it like this. You will read this ayat like this, although the law of ishba doesn't apply, but this is mustasna. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ. Is the number correct? Correct, you find out? Okay, thank you. Okay, so... yeah, they may write a kasra, but this law, that's why I'm teaching you that this is mustasna. You have to read it like this. Long kasra, which equals to one ya, shows the ishta. Okay, and a few more things remaining about the ha of dhamir, and then we are done with this law. Then you know the concept of how to read the dhamir in Arabic, in Quran. That would be enough. Okay. Shall I erase this? This red one? few more points remaining about this, ha'ogvamiv, the ha, the pronoun. First thing to remember, and that is, when you do the waqf, that means stopping, ha is read, ha, the pronoun, is read as a starting, always. There will always be sakin. So, for example, here you would say it was fihi, you would say fi ma'ahu, depending on what is next. If there is a fatha, we will do the ishba. If there is no fatha, we will not do the ishba, whatever it is. But we are just discussing this much. So this is ma'ahu, so we will say ma'ah, ma'ah. In English, you would write it like this, ma'ah, with an H at the end. So you are pronouncing the ha. So the ha, the pronoun, is pronounced as a sakin when you stop over it. The next thing to remember is that ha in the word hadihi is not a bamir, is not a pronoun, but it is treated like a pronoun. Treated like a bamir. All the laws of bamir and pronoun will apply on that, although this is not a pronoun. This is part of the word itself. It's not a pronoun. Pronoun is not part of the word. It is added to the. This is a different word, and this is a different thing. Like here, this is a different word. Like this fi, and then you add a ha at the end. So these are two different words. Whereas hadihi is one word. They are not two different things. So there is not a bamir or pronoun added here. It's part of the word. But this ha in the word hadihi is treated just like the dhamir, just like the pronoun. So the same laws will apply there. Examples. In hadihi, hadihi, for example, hadihi ummatukum. Hadihi ummatukum. So here, see, we are doing the ishba of the ha in hadihi, although it's not a pronoun, but we are applying the same rules of pronoun on this ha. So we are doing the ishba. So we are not writing it like a kasra, we are writing like a stretched alif, which represents two kasras in the stretch of the sound. Hadihi, because both sides of this ha are mutaharrik. There's also a kasra here and there's a vamma here. Those both sides have a harakat. Is that right? So we read it with a stretch, with a shba. And likewise, the mustasnas, three mustasnas that we learned also apply on hadihi. For so in the case of you see, we just learned, for example, what was the example I gave you? Qila lahut taqi, if you remember. That's the example we just learned in the mustasna. Qila lahut taqi, isn't that right? And we learned that here, law of ishba does not apply because after that there's a shad. Likewise, on hazihi, the same law does not apply because after that there's a shad. After the ha in hadihi, there is a shad on Allah. The first readable harf is lam, which has a shad. So the law of ishba will not apply, and you won't say harihi illah. You will say harihillah, just like a kasra. The same laws are applying here on harihi. And likewise, another example. هذه القرية ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها هذه القرية. Again, we don't do the إشباع. هذه is كسرة only, because after that there is a ساكن. So both sides are not متحرك. Both don't have the حركة. So we will not do the إشباع here. So those laws apply on هذه, despite the fact that it's not a ha of the meal. Okay, this is about the ha of law of ishba. We are done with it. Alhamdulillah. Let's move forward to the law of waqf. Means to stop, stopping on somewhere. What does stopping means? The definition of waqf, technical definition in ilm al-tajweed, is like this: qat' al-sawt, qat' al-sawt fi akhir al-kalimati. بتحويل الحركة القصيرة بتحويل الحركة القصيرة للحرف الأخير إلى السكون. That's the definition of waqf in ilm al-tajweed. That's how we do. قطع الصوت means breaking your voice في آخر الكلمة, at the end of the word. بتحوير الحركة القصيرة, by converting the short حركت للحرف الأخير at the last alphabet. Short harakat of the last alphabet, you convert it into a sukoon. This is called waqf. Examples. Okay, breaking your voice at the end of a word through converting the short harakat on the last alphabet into a sukoon. This is the definition of waqf. For example, Maliki Yawmiddin. Yawmiddin. Okay, this is the ayat of Quran. So when we read, when we do the waqf here at the noon, so what we say, Maliki Yawmiddin. Let's apply the definition, قَطْءُ الصَّوْتِ. I'm stopping my voice, breaking my voice. I'm not continuously reading. I'm stopping there. فِي آخِرِ الْكَلِمَةِ, at the end of the word, فَتَحْوِيرِ الْحَرَكَةِ الْقَصِيرَةِ, by converting, through converting the short harakat. Short harakat is this. This is the harakatun qasira. the short harakat fi lil harf al akhir, the short harakat of the last alphabet. The last alphabet is this noon. The short harakat on the last alphabet, which is noon, converting it towards what? Ila sukoon. I convert it into a sukoon, so I read it like Maliki Yawmiddin. This is the definition of waqf. Waqf is permissible in the Holy Quran anywhere you wish, except where waqf is mamnu' and forbidden. Other than where the waqf is mamnu' and forbidden, you can stop wherever you want in the Quran. It's not a problem. There's a few points to remember when we stop. A few basic points. First one is that ta'ul marbuta gets converted into a ha. It is recited as ha when we do the waqf. Ta'ul marbuta, we have two kinds of ta in Arabic. One is this one, which we call it ta'ul tawila, a long ta, and one is this one. We call it ta'ul marbuta. You can, sometimes you find it written like this. So this is called a ta'ul marbuta, the connected ta. This is a ta'ul tawila, the long ta. So we are talking about the connected ta, the ta'ul marbuta, this one, or this one. So when this ta is, you encounter this ta and you are stopping on a word, it gets converted into a ha. Examples. Rahmatan, for example, how would you read it? You will read it like this. Rahma. Rahma. Okay? The next point about waqf is that Tanweenul Fath. Tanween of the Fatha, what happens is that the tanween gets dropped is dropped when you do the waqf, but the alif does not drop. Example. Inna salata kanat alal mu'mina kitabam mawquta. Kitabam mawquta. Okay? So here, if I'm stopping here, mawquta, I would read it like this. I won't read it mawquten, I'll read it like this. Mawquta with the alif. So the two fathas of tanween, tanweenul fath, tanween of the fatha. We have tanween of dhamma, which is also written like this, sometimes like this. And we have tanween of kasra, and we have tanween of fatha. So that we are talking about the tanween of fatha only right now. Tanween of fatha is written with an alif at the end. Except if there is a ta'al marbuta, then we don't write it on the alif. That's the exception. Otherwise, tanween fatha is always found on top of an alif. So when you do the waqf, you stop, and the end of the word is a tanween of fatha, like kitabam mawquta. Here you drop. Tanween is dropped, but the alif does not drop. So you would read it like mawquta. Instead of saying mawqutan, you say mawquta. Ghafoor al-Rahima, Rahiman, instead of Rahiman, you would say Rahima. And if there is no ta'al marbuta at the end of the word, and there is no tanween of fatha at the end of the word, then the same procedure that we learn in the definition will apply in all the rest of the cases. For example, you would say Sami, the word Sami, Sami'un, you would say it like what? Sami'a. Iltiqa'u al-sakinain is impossible and muhal in Arabic except in the case of waqf. In the case of waqf, it is ja'iz. We have a law in Arabic that iltiqa'u al-sakinain muhal. It's impossible in Arabic that two sakin alphabets can come together with each other. We don't have two sakins coming together. So, and if the two sakins come together, then the law says in grammar, إِذَا إِلْتَقَ السَّاكِنَانِ إِذَا إِلْتَقَ السَّاكِنَانُ السَّاكِنَانِ فَحَرِّكْهُ بِالْكَسْرَةِ. So you give to make them mutaharrik through a kasra. So whenever two sakins come close to each other, face to face, we have to give kasra to one of the two. Of course we give it to the first one, according to the law. We give it the kasra to the first. So two sakins can never come close to each other, except in the case of waqf, where it is permissible. So when you are reading the word sami'un, and you're doing the waqf, you read like Sami'a, and there two sakins come close to each other, and that's mustasna, that's okay. That's where it's allowed. Otherwise, in the rest of the Arabic language, you will never find two sakins coming close to each other. You will never find that. Bismillah. Forget it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.